Okay, how often do you get to go do things outside of your home for just you? Not for your kids, not with your kids, not as a part of the family unit, just for you to be with your girlfriends. Wait, do you have girlfriends? When you're a mom, especially a stay-at-home mom, your life easily becomes hardly about anything else other than your family or your kiddos. But kids or no kids, it can be hard to maintain or even create a friendship circle outside of your marriage if you aren't ever able to really get out and spend time with them. Some women begin to feel so isolated and alone within their own home, and they're not able to experience the connection with friends that they once enjoyed so much, which just adds to the overwhelm and loneliness when their marriage is ending. This is Divorced and Determined AF, the show that supports women with the information you need to know before, during, and beyond divorce. My name is Jamie Milam, and I am determined to empower you to live the life that you desire and deserve through the power of awareness. And I want you to know that there is a way out of that isolation, even if you've not been able to put in time or energy into a social life for the past several years. So if you're wondering if you can actually go from having minimal friendships during your marriage to building a supportive circle of friends, then I want you to keep listening because today I'm having a bit of a different conversation on the pod. I've invited Rosa Sprinkle. She's a self-proclaimed introverted gal, and she's in one of the same local online divorce support groups that I'm in. And I've asked her to come in and share with us her experience with how her social circle transformed. You see, Rosa is a mom of four. She was married for 12 years, and she's still a stay-at-home mom. She went from being able to only have childless nights out with her friends a couple of times a year to now having weekly and monthly get-togethers with old friends and new friends, and they even take trips together. So keep listening to hear about that journey and what it took to really support her in building that tribe. And as always, I want you to have as much support as possible. So if you're looking for more resources after the show, head over to peaceofminddivorce.info to access our free resource library there today. Now, let's get started. Divorce is an overwhelming process that most of us did not know how to navigate until we were in the thick of it, which can cost us a lot more time, money, and energy than necessary. Divorced and Determined AF hopes to change that. I'm your host, Jamie Milam. I'm a realtor and a certified divorce specialist who not only works with divorcing couples when selling their home, but I am also divorced, and I know firsthand how much having thorough resources would positively impact women for years to come. I'm bringing together fellow divorcees and experts working in the field to talk about this private taboo topic, all with the goal to help you feel prepared, educated, assured, confident, and empowered to make informed decisions related to your divorce journey. So whether you're just now considering a divorce, in the midst of it, or are now navigating a new norm and are determined AF to do it your way, this is your safe space. You deserve it. Rosa, I am so excited that you've decided to join me today because I'm excited to hear about this journey of how you got to where you are today, loving life, basically saying that you have such amazing and supportive friendships these days. And so I'm excited to dive into this. So can you maybe start with telling us a little bit about maybe how long you were married and what your social life or your social circle was like during your marriage?
Sure. I was married for 12 years. I was a stay-at-home mom. Both of us decided that before we ever got married. It was an understanding that before I had kids, I was working. And then once we started a family, I would be a stay-at-home mom. So that was agreed upon. I have four kids. They're all within 6 years of each other. I had a set of twins and it was busy. I was fully mom mode. My ex was, although a loving father, was not super hands-on all the time. It was my job, basically 24/7, to cater to the needs of our young children. And I thought that I understood that, but I don't think anyone can prepare you for motherhood minute after minute after minute being the sole caretaker. And it wears on you. I have kids who didn't sleep until they were 2 years old. They didn't sleep through the night, including the twins. And I think my ex didn't fully understand how tired I was and burnt out I was. The only time I really felt like I had social interaction was when I would put kids in the stroller and walk to the park and try to start conversations with random moms in a similar life stage as me, or through our church where I felt I could finally relax because there was a nursery, so that I would show up anytime the church was having anything. So Sunday mornings, if there was a Sunday night thing, if there was a Wednesday night thing, if there was a women's Bible study, I was there because I craved adult interaction after having four small kids. And I had a couple really close friends, but I only could get together with them for dinner maybe twice a year, I think. If we were meeting at a park with our kids, that was fine. But if I wanted to do something outside of my kids, I either had to try to do everything for my ex in advance and then could only skip out of the house for a couple hours once everyone was asleep, or it would have to be during the day with kids involved. But it was very rare, and my ex resented those friendships that I had. It was very much a, you know, woman does it all. I'm the head of the household. We were not an equal partnership. He definitely treated me as a subordinate, as sort of a worker bee, that, and would be resentful when, like, a kid would wake up. I'd immediately get a text if I was out with friends and I would need to come home. So I was starving for adult interaction. I had, you know, friends like in the neighborhood and everything, and it helped that we were all in the same life stage. And I think that's the key, that you're all kind of in a similar life stage going through somewhat similar thing. And so, yeah, that was my life beforehand.
So when you say similar life stage, do you just mean kind of like in the sense of being a mom, you know, having these little ones with similar aged children?
Married. Yep. Married with young kids.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And mom being the career, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which it is. It's a full-time job. Let me ask you, because I heard you say you craved this attention. So every opportunity that you had available to you with the church was something that you took advantage of. And aside from your church activities, it sounds like maybe the park was a way for you to have an outlet. And any other time, it had to be after the kids had gone to bed, as long as you'd already done everything else in advance. Was that, just out of curiosity, was that any resemblance whatsoever to what your life was like before marriage?
No, I had a good friend group, a group of women that I loved getting together with. I am an introvert, but I'm a social introvert. So I am very comfortable spending time on my own. My ex was an introvert as well. I thought that when we got married, we'd kind of spend nights at home together and and then once we had kids, we put them to bed and then we'd spend evenings together and that sort of thing. And so my life stage before I had kids was still at home a lot. But because I was working, I was, you know, having conversations with adults. I would talk to them all day and then come home and just sort of relax in the evenings.
And it sounds like you mentioned that your husband was also an introvert. So am I to guess that it's not like your husband was out and about all the time, even after you guys had kids? You know, he didn't have a big friend circle and you were just left at home.
No.
He came home after work and expected everybody to pretty much be there.
Yes.
Okay.
He was a musician and would join different bands. And so that was sort of his hobby. We had a finished garage in our backyard that was also a recording studio. So even if he wasn't currently in a band, he was often out there recording new music. And I am a reader. I like to sit and read a book or maybe watch a TV show. He is a music listener. So he would be out in the garage listening to music. So even once we had kids, we were in a pattern of I would be in the house watching TV or reading a book. He would be out in the recording studio listening to music. That didn't change much when we had kids. He would come home. His one like steady chore with the kids was to bathe them. And then he'd go out to the recording studio and I wouldn't see him for the rest of the night.
Okay.
And so it worked when I didn't have kids because I was working in an office talking with adults, getting some of that interaction. But once kids came along, and you can only be at the park so many hours. So yeah. I would be alone at night. I would have taken care of babies all day and then be alone with babies all night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it does take not only a physical toll on us, but it takes a mental toll on us when we're just around children and we're just in a caregiving mode all day long. And that's yes. completely understandable. But it's been 5 years now since your divorce is finalized. Is that accurate? Now, did you guys have a long separation or,
a year and a day before I was able to file because North Carolina laws.
Okay. All right. So it was about the standard process and now it's been 5 years. And I'm curious if even during your marriage, if you had friends or a friend that had gone through a divorce, like, did you have any idea or inclination of maybe how your social life might change, what that might look like, whether that was during that year and a half-ish, for separation or even after everything was finalized? Was that even on your radar? Were you even thinking about social life at that time?
So when I was still with my ex, I could only stare into my future and say that this can't go on like it is. I was only thinking of being in an unhealthy marriage. I'd come out of recovering from a debilitating chronic illness so that I was no longer in constant pain. And I was looking 40 in the face. And I just thought, I don't want the next 40 years to look like they do right now. This can't go on. I was really only thinking of, I need a life preserver. Like I need to jump ship with my kids. So it was really just kind of this emergency, I got to get out. And yeah. I couldn't think beyond a day or a week. It was just trying to see into a future. It can be really hard. I think in some ways you can only know what you don't want it to look like. And
you are right.
I had a very supportive church. They were instrumental in getting me out of that unhealthy marriage, which I think is a very different story than a lot of people have. I had wonderful people. We'd been going to that church for 15 years. So I felt spiritually supported in leaving. And then once I was out, or even before I was out, I had a friend who was also a neighbor who started a divorce process a little bit before I did. She was still in the early stages of it, and it was in a very different kind of marital situation from me, but we were both feeling that loss and trying to navigate all the ins and outs of custody schedules and financial disbursements and the emotional loss. And mm-hmm. so I was so thankful to have her and to be able to escape to her house every once in a while, honestly. So she's also an extrovert. She was so much better at seeking out meetup groups for divorced people or just meeting people. She was diving into how to divorce well and therapy and all that. And I was in therapy and we were trying to heal ourselves. And she was just a little bit ahead of me on being able to seek out friendships that looked different from what we already had, because again, you're changing a life stage and it's really hard to be with the smug marrieds. Not that they're all smug, but to be with all these married couples and happy families and everything, you really start to feel like, I need someone who understands this. Mm-hmm. I need someone who's not going to look at me with pity in their eyes, because I didn't feel pitiable. I was starting to feel free.
Mm-hmm.
So that friend was a little bit ahead of me and a little bit more extroverted than me. And she was instrumental in helping me find a new life as well.
That I cannot tell you how helpful it really is when you are so fortunate to have somebody, even if they are a few steps ahead or a few steps behind. One of my very best friends, we got married a month apart. And we got divorced we separated within about 3 months apart from each other because she's in a state that does not require the 12-month rule. And our divorces looked very different. you know, for very different reasons. I have a child, she does not. You know, things were very, very different. However, just having that person that you could call and just say, I have got to get this off my chest, or I just got this random text, like, what the F? Why are we, why would you send me this, you know? Or to call after you've been so calm and shown such constraint, maybe on a phone call with your ex, and then just to get off the phone and like have to call somebody during your total anxiety attack and breakdown of like, you know, yeah. I kept it together that whole time, but I've got to get it out. Like, am I crazy? Like, what is happening? And so having somebody, and that was, she's in the Midwest. So unfortunately, you know, we weren't next door neighbors to where we could then go yeah. out with one another, but we could find some normalcy in it. And that is so helpful. But I can only imagine how that gets leveled up if you've got somebody that is a neighbor that you can confide in, that is going through something similar, that is in that extroverted stage a little bit more than you, because it does get you yeah. out there. It makes you feel a little bit better. And if she was on doing meetups, she's probably finding other women that were going through similar situations. Now, let me ask you, though, had you already left home when you discovered this friend was going through a divorce as well? And she started kind of like...
She was ahead of me. So her marriage fell apart. Mine, I was just feeling this sense of disquiet.
But you were still.
I was still home. And because she was a neighbor, after I put the kids to bed, I think she came over maybe one night. She was like, let me tell you what's going on. Mm. And I wasn't saying anything at the time to her or anyone right. about how bad it was, how horrible I was feeling. But she came over and said, I can't, you know, this is the horribleness that's happening. And she loaned me a book about, I think, improving marriage or something. And within 2 months, I think it was, I returned her book and said, I don't need this. I'm leaving on Saturday. It was just like, damn. And yeah. so, yeah, she was there. And whereas hers was sort of like this gradual ironing things out, mine was pull the ripcord, jump out of the burning plane kind of thing. But it was good to have her there. Sometimes you just need someone. There were times in my car, I will say, that I was screaming the F word and beating my steering wheel. I was so frustrated. And you kind of need another someone that sometimes hears that and can be like, yeah, girl, it's okay. You're not crazy. You need to get this out. And it's also good to have another person who's trying to interact with an ex in a completely different way than you're used to. And to teach you to say, girl, you don't have to answer that text.
Like, yes.
Or a thumbs up emoji is just fine. Or the word no is just fine because you're used to over-explaining or you're used to having a big conversation. And to force someone to just say, you never have to talk to them on the phone again. You can make this an email. You can make this a text. Or mm-hmm. just having someone say, you don't have to reply. You can ignore that. Because I think we're used to answering our spouses, right?
Oh, yeah. But I'm curious, though, you know, since she had gone through this process just a short time before you, and then you returned the book, and then you left, did you jump into more social settings with her after that? Or did you kind of stick with like, this is like my divorce buddy, you know, for a while, you know, as you're sorting through everything before you jumped into building up a new support system and social circle?
The first thing I did when I started to see that my marriage was tanking, it was right around Christmas that it became very clear that things were going bad, but I wasn't telling anyone. And for Christmas, the only thing I asked my ex for was time. And I said, I want to be able to see, like go out once a month, basically with my friends. So the first thing, even before I left, is I got dinner with those friends that I only saw every 6 months, basically. And I did that 2 to 3 months in a row. And it went from one dinner with my friend who had already been through a divorce several years earlier and had been coaching me, not knowing that I was going to leave, but just saying, you know what, that's not healthy. You know, those little drops of knowledge where she said, you actually don't have to put up with that kind of stuff. And we had dinner and I told her, I have a 2-year plan to leave. And she's like, girl, that's a long time. And I said, I know, but I have to think that way. It's overwhelming to think any sooner. I have to make it for my twins to get to school so that I can get a job and I can start saving money, that sort of thing. She said, 2 years is a long time. The next month, I got together with her and another friend and I said, I'm leaving Saturday. And they basically applauded. So I had started to refine those friendships, to refine them in order to start getting some time back. And then once I was out, I was no longer living in my house. I was staying with a friend, me and 4 kids, staying with a friend who was incredibly generous. And I had my 40th birthday while the initial storm of leaving was going on. And those same 2 friends came over and we just sat on this back porch of the house I was staying at, eating chocolate desserts from Amelie's, just having a very low-key birthday where they're saying, it's going to be okay. Like, we're going to help you through this. And so the biggest thing was trying to refind some friendships that I really hadn't been able to pour any energy into. And in the interim of leaving and some of that, I wasn't going to my normal church, but I still had a lot of the support of like the women's ministry and the elders who were kind of coaching me through some of this. And as time went on, I just felt more and more uncomfortable in that church setting. Again, sort of the looks of pity, that everyone knows something's wrong, you know, what's going on sort of thing. And I started to sort of pull away from that, which was scary because that was my social network group. Like, what am I going to do? And it took me a long time. I felt very insular because I felt very wounded for that first year, I would say. There were a couple of friends that I could get together with, and I started to become closer to the woman who's my best friend now, because she's very sensible. Like, I needed sensible people, and I needed the people going through it, and I needed stable people and people I could, you know, scream the F word with. Like, you just kind of need a variety, and it's really hard if you don't have any friendships already established. But I had a couple that I started being able to spend more energy on suddenly.
Yeah, in the beginning, you're exactly right. It's so hard to think about what the future is when it feels like all of these decisions that you have to make are so heavy and so overwhelming. How can I think beyond next month or next year, or in, as you mentioned, a 2-year plan? I can relate exactly. I'd said the same thing to my best friend, saying like, I can't imagine us being together after my son graduates high school, which at the time was 4 years down the road. And, you know, it took a friend to be able to hold up a mirror and ask me directly if this was the version of me that I wanted to give him for those last 4 years. And if I thought that the transition into college, you know, moving out of his house was going to be an easier time for him to also take on the transition of his parents separating, you know, or is that double down? It still took maybe a year from that time of her saying that for me to actually be able to pull the trigger. However, during that year, we had also started marriage therapy. So I was taking the steps to try to figure out how that wasn't going to be the solution. But you're exactly right. When we have kids, especially, we aren't thinking that far in advance. And let me tell you, even if we're thinking steps ahead, I'll tell you the last damn thing I was thinking about was, who am I going to get to go hang out with and what fun stuff am I going to get to do? Like, that's not on your list at all. But
I had an aunt talking about like a relationship and I was like, I don't care if I'm alone for the rest of my life. Like,
for real.
Absolutely not on my radar. And one of the decision making things that helped me leave was that realization that I would rather be alone for the rest of my life than spend it with this person.
Yeah, and losing a part of your identity, you know, like when you feel like you are so boxed in that you can't have the most innocent of friendships. And even these friendships who are trying to show you your value, what you are worth, and to pour into you. And it sounds like you did have some friends who had gone through divorces And thankfully, they were there to be able to support you in this transition. Well, tell us, Rosa, what is social life for you like now? I know that you mentioned to me that you guys like go on trips and you guys have outings. So we're no longer only having to meet at the park. So tell us a little bit about what that looks like for you today. Y'all can't see her, but she just got the biggest smile on her face as I was asking. I love that. I'm like,
you have to make an introverted friend who's also going to help you make connections. And you really have to find that new group that's in a similar life stage to you. And it is hard. You have to put yourself out there. You have to show up to places. And I think the biggest advice is to not seek romantic relationships right away. Figure out who you are as a friend. Being a good friend takes a lot of skill and can set you up, set the foundation. Because if you're a hot mess, your friends aren't going to bring you recommendations for people. You have to heal yourself first. And I think the best way to meet people is to get hobbies that you share in common, or to get together in groups for fun things, not going to bars, because I just really feel like you have to learn who you are now to really meet yourself. So luckily, I have an introverted or extroverted friend who did a lot of the meetups for divorced singles and cherry picked the cream of the crop. She really did. She would go to comedy nights, which is excellent. Those are people who are there to have fun and laugh. And there's a lot of them in Charlotte. There's a lot of open mic nights for comedy. There's lots of game night groups around town. There's lots of trivia groups all over town. So you're probably going to be able to meet fun people who are looking for, you know, a knowledgeable person to add to their quiz group, you know?
Now, did you go to these with her?
She went to some on her own. I've been to a couple. The other key, and this is the hardest one, you got to get on the same custody schedule. Because if your friends, if you've got kids, I will say, this is not necessarily for all people, but if you have kids and you want to meet other people that also happen to have kids, if y'all are on opposite weekends, you're never going to see that person. You're never going to see them again. So you have to try to meet people on those weekends that you had or on those weeknights that you had. And so she had a different weeknight available from me. So she would often do game night groups that were meeting on a night that I wasn't available. And then we would have a game night at her house for all of us to meet. And it used to start out where there was four or five of us. We would tell our divorce story. We would lament or, you know, congrats or whatever. But over time, and it's been probably 3 or 4 years now of us meet once every month or two for game night. And now we just hang out and we laugh and we are silly and ridiculous. And yeah, we've been on a trip to the mountains. We go on hikes. We play game nights. We meet out at game shops that are out there where you can use their tables and whatever games they have. So the trick is to find like-minded people and do stuff and have some consistency. Those are the main things, like do stuff with consistency,
I love how you pointed out the idea of even like your custody schedules kind of being aligned.
Yeah.
Because so many women who have children, it's tough. Like the times that they feel the most alone are the weekends that they don't have their kid.
Yeah.
And so if they then want to, even if it's within another, like, you know, women's divorce group and they want to meet up with new people, it's so hard because so many of those other women have their kids that weekend and then they can't. And it just kind of compounds sometimes that feeling of like, sadness that your kids aren't there and loneliness that you don't have that circle of people that you can just pick up the phone and call.
Yeah.
And nothing makes that seem to be more highlighted than a divorce. You know, like you were fine whenever it was just you and your spouse in a way. And I say fine very loosely. You know, nobody should have one person that needs to wear all the hats for relationships and wear all of the roles under that one hat for one person. That's not healthy. But you think that you're okay. Like, yeah, no, I've got my best friend. And then next thing you know, like, really, when you take a step back, you've been living in separate parts of the house for how many years?
Yeah.
And you're not doing things. And I tell women, I know it's hard without your kids at home. But one of the things that you have to do is you have to reconnect to yourself first. Because if you reconnect to yourself first, then you can start to decide, what are these things that I really enjoy doing? What are the things that I used to enjoy doing that I haven't done forever? And sure, maybe we've aged out of that, but we won't know if we don't go try again. And who knows? Maybe you're like me and you're reconnected to EDM music and now you go to all the festivals as much as you can and you know, you don't recover as well the next day, but you still enjoy the heck out of it and you travel to places, or it's game night, or it's starting a book club. And, you know, it's about finding what you love to do for yourself. And I've said this to multiple women. I'm like, find something that you love so much that you're fine doing it by yourself.
Yes.
Because that means that if there's a concert that I want to go to and nobody's, let me tell you guys, in suburbia, nobody is like, next time you want to go to a concert that starts at 11 p.m. Oh, wait, the DJ doesn't go on until 12:30. They're not raising their hand super excited to go. Right.
Yeah.
So nobody's volunteering to go. That's OK. I still have a few other people, but it fills my soul so much that I'm willing to go by myself.
Yes.
You know, because I want to enjoy it for me. And then when I have other people that can go with me, then it just makes it that much more fun.
Yeah.
And so I love how you started off by saying, don't jump into, you know, looking for companionship in a new dating partner, because that is not what's going to give us time to heal or to reconnect to ourselves. Yeah. And if you take that time to reconnect with yourself and build up a support system of girlfriends that are like-minded as well, you'll be able to think a lot more clearly, have a lot more boundaries, have a much better balance, and likely have been building the skill set to find a partner that is going to be similar-minded as well. And that's what's going to give you the better chance for success when it gets to that. So I love hearing that now you guys go on trips and you've got game night, you know, at least like once a month or so. And it's just such a refreshing thing to hear a woman who had started off by not really getting to do anything if it wasn't without her kids. And if it was, then you probably felt like you had to live and die by your phone in case you got that text message telling you to come home.
Yeah.
And now you get to have these thriving friendships and such a wonderful group of support around you. And so I'm just so grateful that you shared your story with us today. Thank you for the vulnerability and the insight into your journey, Rosa.
Oh, thank you for having me. Anything I can do to help women through this really hard time. Every time I hear someone else is divorcing, especially a close friend, I just try to be incredibly calm and say, it's going to suck, but it's going to be okay.
That's right.
You are going to get through this.
Okay, ladies, were you like me and you heard something in Rosa's story that you could relate with? I mean, I've never been a stay-at-home mom and my situation certainly wasn't the same, but gosh, I was so glad to hear that Rosa had some amazing women in her corner reminding her of her worth along the way. I want to share with you real quick that after we were done recording, she told me that she had one friend who knew that Thursdays were the day that her kids went to stay with their dad and Rosa would cry most of the day. Her friend learned of this and started setting an alarm on her phone every Thursday at 4 o'clock just to check in on her. It became such a routine that they eventually just started hanging out with each other on Thursdays, so much so that often they'll be together now when that same weekly alarm goes off, now 5 years later. Friend, when you allow yourself to be vulnerable and you open yourself up to find like-minded people and do stuff with them consistently, you'll find those connections. But the first connection that matters the most is the one that you make with yourself. And as much as I wish I could tell you that there's an easy button, the truth is, it is going to take some effort. But girl, it is so worth it. I mean, to truly feel like you have a part of yourself back again, that's priceless. I mean, that's empowering. Even if you're introverted like Rosa, it's totally possible to find other women who've gone through something similar and can relate to this life stage that you're in. Trust me, there are more of us out here than you think. Now, really quick, while I still have you, if you need a little bit more motivation and inspirational reminders in your daily feed, why don't you go give us a quick follow on Instagram at divorcedanddeterminedaf. I'll link it down in the show notes for you. Until next week, friend, I wish you nothing but peace and determination.